Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Hope you're doing well today. Some of you I just had opportunity to be with. I had a wonderful time at the recent Formational Prayer Seminar. We had about 100 folks gathered here in Ashland. It was so great to be with other Christians for four, almost 5 days together, and to experience the presence of the Lord and to see people set free from some of the emotional bondage that they've carried through their lives. It was a great time. And if you were one of the individuals that was there, thanks for coming. You made it a wonderful event. If you've never been to one of those events, I want to encourage you to consider putting on your schedule or come to one of our other events. We have a lot of things coming up this spring, a variety of seminars and opportunities. And also, there are different things on our website. You can go to either the HCM International website or the healingcare.org website, and you're going to find some free resources there, some videos that you can listen to, even use in groups that help people get on a healing journey. So it's just wonderful to have these opportunities to be together, to experience the sweetness of the Lord. He is so very, very generous to us in countless ways. Well, we've been in a series, and we're now moving to the fifth and final part of that series. We've been talking about the flow of ministry, the flow of Christian growth, and we've been doing it around five primary words: the word awakening, abiding, anointing, authority, and now we're moving to action. And what I'm suggesting to us is that that flow, allowing that to happen in our lives over and over again, new awakenings, deeper abiding, greater anointing, more authority, greater action, that draws us into deeper intimacy with our Lord. It also strengthens the bond that we have for Him, the union as His children, and it also equips and empowers us to go forward to minister in the world in Jesus' name. Now, what we're going to talk about today is the notion of action, that we as Christians are called to not be dormant, but we are here to actually make a great difference in the world in small things and great things. There's a passage of Scripture that I think about that comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you look at this beginning phrase, and it says that the church is to be an apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, nurturing community that equips one another to go into the world and do the works that Jesus wanted us to do. Some of those works are great and mighty works. Some of those works are seeds being planted. And you know, we have a basic theme at Sling Stones: seeds grow. Seeds grow. And so a seed of kindness, a seed of love, of generosity, a seed which is a word of God's blessing on someone's life, it begins to grow. And that growth can make a profound difference over time in a person's life, in a community of people's lives. And that's what we are called to. There's a quote from Clark Pinnock. I really had an appreciation for Clark Pinnock. He's a great theologian. He taught up at McMaster's Theological Seminary in Canada. He's now with the Lord. And he wrote this: "Fellow Christians, Jesus is now challenging us to help set aright the disorder and pain of a fallen world." Do you hear that? He's challenging us to help set aright the disorder and pain of a fallen world by going forth in His authority and in His power. So we just talked about authority, this idea that we carry the strength and the power and that exousia dunamis that is on us because of Jesus. Then Pinnock goes on to say, "He sends us forth in His name to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons." I know you're aware of this. There is no such thing as a spectator Christian. We don't come to Christ, ask Him into our hearts, Him taking us into His heart so that we can become spectators. We're all to be full participants at one level or another. He gives us spiritual gifts that helps define the role that we're supposed to play. But we all get to be part. I remember when John Wimber used to say, everybody gets to play. Nobody has to sit in the stands while other people are down on the field. Everybody gets to play, which means we all play a critical part in, as Clark Pinnock says, helping set aright the disorder and pain of a fallen world. And I don't think we have to build too much of a case that we don't have to go very far to experience some of the difficulties that are present in our world. It's probably something that's manifested in your life, in your family, in your extended family. If you're living in a neighborhood, you could probably look right outside and see neighbors, and they all could be deeply touched by a blessing, by a good word, by the good news of God's love and the kingdom. And that's something that we all get to participate in. Matthew 28. I just finished reading Matthew 28 the other day. I'm on my way now to Mark and other passages of Scripture. And boy, here's how it all ends in Matthew. These are the words of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, the key phrase here of all of this is, I've called you to make disciples. We can make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching. But the key is that we are to be part of making disciples. What God has given us, we then look for opportunities to give it to others. Sometimes we give it with just a blessing and a good word and some service, but that's why we're here. I used to think about, why didn't Jesus, once I became born again, take me immediately to heaven? Well, because his plan is that we're here as a colony of heaven in order that we can share the good news of the kingdom and help other people come into this absolutely wonderful family that is called the church. I can think back, decades ago, to people that were willing to walk alongside of me, to encourage me. Some of them shared the gospel, others just shared kindness and love. And yet all of that began to point me to God. And so their lives became salt and light that led me, if you will, into healing and out of the darkness. And that's exactly the same thing God wants of all of us. And it's exactly what you're able to do as you begin to think of engaging in action. Okay, doing something, particularly the something that God is wanting you to do to move forward to change this world. You remember we talked the last time about Jesus saying, I only do the things I see the Father doing, and therefore in prayer we begin to discern what is it that Jesus wants us to do, and just like Clark Pinnock said, then in his name, move forward to do it. Years and years ago, I read a book by Rebecca Pippert, and it was called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. And she wrote a book about the fact that too many Christians are huddled up in little koinonia clutches, and they're not really reaching out to touch the broken world. And her metaphor was that the church is like the salt shaker, and is to be shaking salt out into the world, but for many, the salt stays in the salt shaker. People aren't going out to make the difference that we could. And that's what the outcome is as we begin to awaken, more deeply abide, experience the anointing of God, learn about authority, and then go into this world in Jesus' name with the opportunity to make a difference. So that's what we want to talk a little bit about as we begin to move toward the end of this little series that we've been engaged in together. And I want to talk about some specific ways in which we can understand this call to action by the Lord. But let me begin by making this basic statement. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives that grows out of awakening and abiding, that leads us to authority, should be birthing in us a missional life. That doesn't mean you have to be a missionary crossing salt water. Sometimes a missional life means crossing the street. But for all of us that follow Jesus, regardless of what we do as a job, our vocation, our way of life, is to be salt and light into the world. I'm so glad other people chose to do this because their faithfulness is what birthed the kingdom in my heart. And your faithfulness can do the same in someone else's life. We've talked about this before, but vocation doesn't mean job. It means responding to a voice that is summoning you, and in this case, summoning us to action. The anointing of the Holy Spirit births a missional life, a life that goes out to really bring about change in this world, disorder and pain corrected in a fallen creation, because in the authority and power of Christ, we are sent forth with good news. So let me talk about the first thought that comes to my mind about this notion of action. Action begins when we allow God's heart to be poured through our heart. There was a man whose name was Bob Pierce. He's known today as the founder of World Vision, which many Christians know about, and he's also the founder of Samaritan's Purse, which is the compassion arm of the ministry that he founded. Bob Pierce, on the flyleaf of his Bible, had these words, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Now, I know there's a song that's similar to that these days, but this is a huge prayer that in some ways we got to be careful if we want to lift it up before the Lord. But the idea is that a Christian is to be an extension of the heart of God. You know God's word. God is not willing that any should perish. You know that Jesus said, anytime you give a cup of cold water to even a stranger, that by doing that in that his name, it's as if we're doing it to Jesus himself. That's where the action really begins, by recognizing the degree to which God wants to touch our hearts. You know, we live in a world where it is so easy to become self-consumed. Well, not only that, to become selfish. How much do I have becomes more important than how much someone else has. And I think this is a very key starting place for us when we think about action. Are we willing to go before God and ask him to fill our heart with his heart, to help us feel what he feels about the broken people in our community? Because if we could feel that, then the awakening that we've experienced that has led to deeper abiding, that empowers anointing, that strengthens our authority, becomes translated in acts of ministry that plant seeds of the kingdom. And as a result, lives are changed. I'm sitting here right now on my little farm, having this opportunity to spend time with you here on Sling Stones. And the reality is that probably within less than a 2-mile radius of my farm, there are couples that are strengthened whenever we plant seeds of the kingdom. There are individuals that are waiting to hear the good news of God's love. There are other individuals that there is such tension in their lives that they don't know if there's a way of escape. And we have this opportunity through the gospel of Christ to go forward and do good in his name. And it begins with this idea, God, break my heart for the things that break your heart. One of the downsides of the fact that we now have 24-hour action to news is that we get a little bit numb to the amount of heartache there is in the world, because we see it now so often that we can easily shield ourselves. What God wants us to do is keep our hearts open. That's right, because salt and light are necessary. The salt has to get out of the salt shaker. As Jesus said in Luke 14, salt's not good unless it's out there doing its work. Remember, he said, if salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything but the manure pile. And what he's talking about, let's not lose our saltiness, that ability to be a purifying presence in our world, to flavor life, to even bring a certain degree of healing. That's part of what it means to engage in action. Now, here's another part, and it's going to sound dramatic, but if you hold on, I think you'll see that God's already empowered us to do that. Action not only means praying that God would give us his heart, but action means engaging the powers that are at work to destroy this world. Now, I know that you're well familiar with Ephesians 6. We've talked about it. You know, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. The devil is very active, invisible forces. We wear an armor. But one of the things we've got to do is actively remember that every single day when our feet hit the floor, we have an opportunity filled with the Spirit to engage in lifestyle warfare. By lifestyle warfare, I mean in a world that's selfish, be generous. In a world where people are harsh and cruel, be kind and compassionate. In a me-first culture, start thinking about others first. It becomes a countercultural revolution. And it can happen through any one of us in the simplest of ways. Isn't that what St. Francis was all about? St. Francis made a statement once about, you know, be faithful to preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. At one level, I first heard that. I'm not sure what that means. And then all of a sudden, it erupts with deep meaning. That he's saying, let our lifestyle be such that people see something different in us. They're attracted to that, and it gives us the opportunity to share the gospel. Boy, that's part of what the book of Zechariah is about. Somewhere around chapter 7 and 8, it talks about the fact of people watching God's folk and knowing that they're moving closer to God and asking to go with us. And so engaging the power is the willingness to live a lifestyle that's countercultural. Boy, I must admit, I think we need this desperately. In light of the rhetoric that's going on in our world today that is so demeaning and this tendency of leaders to tag one another with names that are pejorative, disrespectful, we have an opportunity to engage in a countercultural lifestyle warfare that engages the powers of darkness. I just read a book. I wish I could remember it. It's about a couple in Wales that took over a retreat center, and they made one of their primary purposes blessing folks that they encounter and people that come. And it seems in the testimony of this book, by simply blessing those that they encounter and those that come to them, their whole community is beginning to change. See, that's the power that God has given us. That's part of the authority that is ours in Christ. We push back darkness by bringing blessings, by bringing good news, by being caring, by being generous. I am absolutely convinced that if you'd take even a moment in prayer and say, Father, is there someone you want me to touch, bless, share, encourage, be generous with today, I believe God would lay that person on your heart, and that becomes action. That's the engagement of a missional life. And then, as we share together in eternity, we'll be able to rejoice with those that were touched by even the smallest things we've done that caused them to become members of the family that we cherish so deeply. It doesn't mean that we have to walk around sharing tracts, so there's nothing wrong with that, or knock door to door asking for an opportunity to share the gospel, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it means looking for what could be in some people's minds mundane opportunities to share the glorious word about Jesus Christ. See, we can't bottle it up. Jeremiah talked about the fact that there's a fire burning within him, that if he didn't share God's word, it would consume him. Oh, that God would make us like that. Not out of obligation and not to try to gain points with God. We're already secure with him. We're his children. But because we're his children, we begin to reflect his heart and we go forward to engage in action. And so that becomes the word for us today. as we allow the Spirit to awaken us, drawing us into deeper abiding, filling us with His Spirit in a new anointing, empowering us with authority in His name, let's ask Jesus today one concrete way in which we can engage in action, touched by His heart, to go out and make a difference in this world. May God bless you today. I look forward to the next time we're together.